It is a great honor to have with us today the Heath family, Robbie and Teguin, as well as their three children. But we're so excited to have them here because they've become like family to us. I know we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but they have a special place in not only our hearts, the wife of the heart of my wife and I, Tamara and I, but also in this congregation. And we're so thankful to be used of the Lord to support their ministry in Kenya, and thankful for them being willing to leave the comforts of the United States to go out and minister in a place like Kenya. And we're so thankful that they have the heart for the Lord to do that. I'm not going to take up any more time this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and let Robbie take over and bring a message to us from the Word and tell us a little more about the ministry there in Kenya as well. Rob?
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor. I wanted to start just say that we are very sorry to be here today with knowing of the passing of our dear sister. I don't know if she was there when we were here last. Maybe she might have been. But we heard the news yesterday, and our hearts go out to you all. And we will be in prayer for the family. And I can see that you two in the front came from Indianapolis. Is that true? Okay. We lived in Indianapolis for many years, and actually our mission is based in Indianapolis, so on the south side, South Beech Grove area. Anyway, but it's sad to see you in these circumstances. So, also, I wanted to say on a lighter note is I've never heard of an ice cream supper. So I've heard of ice cream socials. I've heard of ice cream as a dessert. I've never heard of it as a supper. So, anyway, I think we might have to come back for that. So, anyway, I love the song, one of the songs we sung here. It's a story. We have a story to tell to the nations. The words are just so perfect, so spot on. Is because we all have struggles in our life. We all have ups and downs and twists and turns in our life. But the point of our Christian life is that we have a story to tell to the nations, not just to our family, which we do need to tell it to our family, not just to our neighbors, which we do need to tell it to our neighbors, but to the nations, to the people who are outside of our comfort zone, the people, even sometimes the nations, they take up a residence in our nation, right? We have people from other countries who live here in the United States, and so we need to reach out to those people as well. But we have a story to tell, we have a song that needs to be sung to the nations, we have a message to give, and we have a Savior to show to the nations. And I have thought about this a lot, that the incarnational ministry, right? Just as Jesus Christ himself, he was God. We see in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and he became a servant. He became someone that would die on the cross for our sins. In that same way, we as Christians, we serve an incarnational ministry, meaning that most of the time people don't come to us. We are show Christ to them, right? We become Christ, or we represent Christ to other people, and that is our job as Christians. And so thank you for whoever chose that song. Thank you for whoever wrote that song. It is a real anthem that we can sing. I wanted to start with a story. We are the Heath family serving in Kenya, East Africa, and my wife Teguin, we have three children, Vernon, Vesper, and Vivian. It helps with the three V's. You can just, it just rolled off the tongue. We've been in Kenya for 4 years, ever since, 2019? February 2019, we went to Kenya, and we've been serving there, working with the Bible school and also some church planting. One of the places that we went to plant a church was Kayole, and Kayole is a it's a, oh, come on, what is the word? It's a developing slum, thank you. I say developing slum, my wife said that, because a slum is basically all temporary buildings that will one day be demolished and, you know, built with something permanent. And for many years, Kaole has been a slum, and it is slowly developing into a nicer area. But anyway, there are. This is an area where all sorts of crime happens, all sorts of people who are thieves, robbers, people who there's prostitutes, there's people who are selling drugs, people who are taking drugs, people who are involved in obviously drinking. As we go past our church, or walking to the church, we see all kinds of people, and it is an interesting place to work, an interesting place to plant a church. This here, I wanted to tell a story quickly of about my friend here. This is Wilson, and I met him one day. I was on my way to the church. I was a new missionary. I was still very time conscious, which I'm not as time conscious now, and so you'll have to stop me if you want me to stop. But I was still in that mindset of I have to go and I have to be there at a certain time. I had promised the pastor. I said, I'm coming at a certain time, and I was late. Of course, driving in Nairobi, the traffic is terrible, and getting there, I had to park a distance away and walk into the to where the church is. And Wilson, I was walking down that road, and I passed a group of men, and I kept walking, and I hear a loud voice behind me saying, "Mzungu, where are you going? Mzungu, Mzungu," which is a Swahili term for traveler. Right? You are a foreigner. I know you're a foreigner. Where are you going? So he, I was very focused. I said, I don't want to turn around. I'm late. I have a job to do. I have to go meet the pastor. I realized that's a silly way to think. I need to not pass up this opportunity. I need to take advantage of the opportunity. I turned around and talked to them. It was a group of four men. They were all bodybuilders. You can see that he might be shorter than I am, but he's very muscular, right? And so I was a little intimidated. I sat down and talked with them, and I shared the gospel with them. And Wilson's first response was, "Okay, so if I become a Christian, how many wives can I have?" I said, okay. I believe that you're not serious. I didn't tell him that. But I said, okay, fine. I need to go to the church. I need to meet the pastor. So I asked him, to release me so I can go. And he said he volunteered to escort me to the church. And so I said, I was thinking this could go one of two ways. It's either a good thing, right? These muscular guys walking me to the church is protection, or it could be going to shake down the church or something. I don't know. So we go there. It was wonderful. They meet the pastor, and we get their phone numbers, and more importantly, it's another opportunity to for the pastor to see these people and to share life with them. They promised, Wilson promised to come back later for the evening church service, and I was thinking, there's no way he's coming. I don't believe that he's going to come. He came. He came to the Wednesday night service, and at that service, I was teaching through the book of John, and John 1, you have the story of John the Baptizer. What does he say? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I related that back to the Passover lamb that had to be slaughtered yearly, and that was a representation of the covering for the sin of that family. And it was each family had to do that, right? It was a celebration of the time in Exodus when they did this, and the angel of death passed over, right? This is a celebration, but it was also an example of what was coming, right? It pointed forward to the Lamb of God, right? The one Lamb. It's not the many lambs. It's the one Lamb of God that takes away the sin of not just each family, but the sin of the whole world. So I went through that. I talked to him and the people who were there, and shared the gospel again, and he gave his life to Christ. And so through him, through his ministry, he has he has invited his friends to the church many times, and so through the year, a couple years, his friends have come, and many of them have stayed at the church, and it is just an example of what you're of how to plant a church. Right? When you are planting a church, you are not focused so much on your time. You're focused on the people and the people that you meet, and you have to take advantage of that time. So I want to talk a bit here, and this is actually one of the questions that he asked. He said, what are you doing? Why are you here? Right? And the answer to that is, I'm a missionary, right? And involved in incarnational ministry, right? I have appeared, right, in his neighborhood, bringing the message of salvation, right? And that is something that he could not have received. I could not have texted him. I did not know his number, right? I could not have. Maybe he could have heard a message on the computer or on the television, but as with there are many ministries like that in Kenya, and many people reject those ministries because they're all out to get money, right? Those ministries are just trying to suck all of the money out of the people, and those ministries grow larger. The pastors have larger houses and nicer cars, and the people become poorer and poorer. And so it requires someone to go to those people and to share the gospel with them. And so with Things to Come Mission, our desire is to, our saying, the thing that we say is we are preparing people for Christ's return. Right? Christ is coming back. There is a point in time when Christ will come back, and he will take those of us who are saved, those who are in the body of Christ, and we will meet him in the air. And we are, and that's why Paul tells us, don't grieve about those who have gone before, because we will meet each other in the air, and we will be together forever with Christ. And that is our hope. We no longer have to grieve because we have that hope, that blessed hope. And it's a hope for us. It's a beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing for us. But at that very same time, it is a judgment for the nations, isn't it? Right? The same thing that we are hoping for, we can hardly wait for that moment, is a judgment for the nations. That's a time when it's no longer going to be the grace of God that, anyone at any time can just come to Christ. Right? This grace has been given, but there's going to be a time. So when Jesus takes us up, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period, and after that is the judgment. Right? It's a terrible time. People still have an opportunity to become followers of God during that 7 years. But it's going to be much more difficult, and there's a lot more persecution. But my point is that it is some kind of a judgment, right? Even if someone comes to Christ or becomes a follower of God in those 7 years, it's still a judgment on them. It's still a hardship for them. So that same thing we're hoping for is a judgment for the nations. And we need to think about that. And prepare people for Christ's return, not just to say, well, it's good for them to come to Christ on their own. They can figure it out. No, it's up to us to help to show them the right way. And so why am I in the ministry? Why am I a missionary? Some people think, well, it's a special call. You were selected by God to be a missionary. And I think that it is actually far broader than that. I don't feel like there's this calling on me specifically. God has opened the clouds and he has shouted down and said, you must go. I think it's actually more of a universal calling on all believers in Jesus Christ, if we are in Christ. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we will see what this calling is. I wanted to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 6. And what I want to do is actually go through this chapter relatively verse by verse. I'll skip around a little bit, but this is an important chapter. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 6, because this is the why, right? Why are we called to be ministers? Why is Pastor Charles a pastor? Why am I a missionary? Why are there people? Why are you here this morning? Right? Why? What is driving us? What drives us to serve God? And so it says here in verse 6, therefore, although we are always confident and know that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So, yes, Jesus is with us, but we are not with him like we will be in the resurrection, right? When we have resurrected bodies, we are with Christ. So right now, I lost my place. What in the world? Okay. There we go. So he says, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, so we are confident and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. This, the Apostle Paul, I think in Philippians, he also talks about this. He says, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Right? So if I'm in the body, I'm going to be serving the Lord. If I die, woohoo! That is good for me. Right? And his hope would be that those who are around would be celebrating, right, his homegoing, celebrating what has happened. Skipping ahead here, verse 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ in order that each one may receive back the things through the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When we see Christ, there will be a judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is something for us to be encouraged, right? We will receive a reward for the things done in Christ, the things that are done for Christ while we are Christian. That will be a reward for us. In 1 Corinthians, you can put this in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about this judgment seat of Christ, where the things done for Christ will last, and the things done for ourselves, for our selfish interests, are going to be burned up in the fire, right? And this is not a passage that says we will be unsaved. No, it says that you will survive as though by fire, right? This will be the things done for the flesh will be burned up. The things done for Christ will be a reward. Right? This is a good thing for us. Now, what about those who have eternal judgment without hope? Right? I've talked about those of us who will be judged by Christ. We will receive a reward. Also, in Matthew 10:28, it says here, and do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But instead, be afraid of the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 25:46. And these will depart into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Right? We are not supposed to be afraid we who are saved, we are going to go into eternal life. And those who are unsaved, those will be in eternal judgment, eternal death, you could say, eternal separation from God. And this here is, I wanted to show you that because now in verse 11, so back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, it continues, and it says here, therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, which I would say, looking to judgment, looking at the judgments to come, even the judgment seat of Christ, which is good, looking to that, we have a certain fear or respect for God. It says here, but we are, therefore, because we know fear of the Lord, we are attempting to persuade people, right? That fear of God, it points us or it encourages us to persuade people to come to Christ, does it not? It is one of our motivators is the fear of God, because God is he's more terrifying than we could imagine, right? He is the all-powerful God. Yes, there's the other side of him. He is Yahweh. He's the God with us. But he is also the all-powerful God of the universe. And but it doesn't end there, right? It doesn't stop with just the all-powerful God who's far away from us. I wanted to, for the time, I'll just go here. I told you this morning about the our ministry in Mombasa, working with people who are, most of them are Muslim. They have a faith in a terrible God, a God who is not kind and generous and loving. This is a God who, and this is a small g God, right? This is the God that they worship. They believe that he will do terrible things to them if they don't follow him. And so they live their life out of fear. And so is fear the only thing a Christian can stand on? No, it's not. And what we shared with the people in Mombasa was the love that Christ has for us, right? Because their God, their small g God, did not come to the earth. There was no incarnational ministry. There was no incarnation. There was no sharing his love with humankind. No, he's the big and powerful God who will kill you if you don't do what he says. What we shared with them was the love of Christ, and a part of our ministry there in Mombasa, 127 people gave their lives to Christ because this is a very unique gospel to them, a unique good news. If we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm skipping down. You can study the rest of this with your pastor at a later time, more in depth. But right now, verse 14, this here it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, as a result all died." Verse 15, "And he died for all in order that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but they should live for the one who died for them and was raised." Okay, Paul has some confusing language there, but in the end it says that those who have been saved by Christ, by the love of Christ coming down and saving mankind, they should turn around and serve that person. They should serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us, and we should serve him. Right? And this is, it says here, the love of Christ in verse 14, the love of Christ. Some people have misread this as our love for Christ. Is it our love for Christ? No. It's God's, it's Christ's love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, gave himself up for us, and gave us a way to be reconciled with him. He forgave our sin so that we could come and be reconciled with him. So this is the second reason, the first reason that we serve Christ with all of our heart, soul, and mind, right, that we love him, is because of the fear of God, right, the fear of God. The second here is the love of Christ. The love of Christ controls us, and it should be our primary motivator, is the love that we have, the love we have for Christ because he first loved us. And that's actually in 1 John 4:19, John says, what is it? I don't have the quote here, actually. But it basically, we can obey him, or, you know, we can love because Christ first loved us. That it's a reciprocal love. Right? We can love other people even because he first loved us. Let's skip down a few more verses to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I wanted to ask you a question. Who here is in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you have given your life to Christ, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and you are in Christ. Right? If you are a member of the body of Christ, that's another way of saying that you are in Christ. Right? If you are in Christ, so that's what he says here, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so I think that was the majority, if not the totality of this room, is in Christ. It says here, he is a new creation. So this, I wanted to point that out again. He's not saying, if your pastor is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? If the elder board is in Christ, they are a new creation. No. What does it say? If anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. It says here that the old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. This reminds me of a verse in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. It says, this is not a direct quote, but so Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is that for we are, can someone quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? For by grace we are saved through faith, it is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no man can boast, right? What's verse 10? For we are his workmanship, created, right? There's that word again, created in Christ Jesus for what? Under good works. For good works that he prepared in advance for us to do, right? There is some foreknowledge in what God wants us to do. Right? We are created. When we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are in Christ, we are created to do good works. Okay? When we are when you're trying to share the gospel with someone, we're not talking good works. We're not saying, do good works so that you can be saved. No. It's clear that that is not the case. The Apostle Paul says that we must, we come to Christ by grace, through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And that we are a new creation after that happens, and we are created to do good works. And this here is if we continue, created for good works. And verse 17 at the end, right? Behold, new things have come. Verse 18, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Okay, we have been reconciled. Right? God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, what is the ministry of reconciliation? Have you heard of this? What is the ministry of reconciliation? Well, first of all, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a step beyond forgiveness, isn't it? You can say, "Brother, I forgive you." You know, as far as it depends on me, there's no problem here, right? There's no problem. That person might still hate you, right? Especially maybe if you're the one who did the wrong. But either way, there is no reconciliation happen, right? There's not, until both sides say, at one time we were enemies, now we are friends. And we've put that aside and we have become friends, right? So reconciliation is becoming friends with an enemy. And again, there was a time that we were enemies of Christ. And now we are not. So here, another reason that we have is because we are, another reason for being in the ministry, for being a pastor, for being an evangelist, is because we are a new creation. And we are created for a job, right? All of this is from God. Verse 18, he says here, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, namely, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us with what? The message of reconciliation. And I wanted to share that specifically because there is a message of reconciliation. And that is something that in Kenya, one of the things that we do is we teach people how to teach others. Right? I'm in a Bible school ministry. When we were ministering with the Bible school students in Mombasa, in this picture here, I was not the one who was sharing most of the time. I was allowing my students to share. Why? I could share just fine, but we had even given them the message of reconciliation and said, "Hey, you are ministers of reconciliation. Share this message, right? This is not my message to share. This is now your message to share, right? I encourage you, take the messages you receive from your pastor and say, now, this is my message to share to someone else, right? We are to turn around and to share, to teach other people, right? Your pastor teaches faithful men and women, who then turn around and teach others, right? Teach other faithful men and women. This is not a message that needs to stay here. We need to go out with it. Verse 19. I think I already read that one. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, or ambassadors on Christ's behalf. As if God were imploring you through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin on our behalf in order that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Right? This is we are the ambassadors of Christ. I was telling someone here that we live about an hour away from the capital city of Nairobi. There's a lot of ambassadors who come to their embassies, right? From all over the world, there's ambassadors who are there. There are some who are good ambassadors, some who are bad, right? It doesn't, just because you're an ambassador doesn't mean that you're a good one. Each and every one of us here is an ambassador of Christ. Where is our citizenship? Are we all Texans here? Well, no. I'm a West Coaster. I'm from Oregon, right? I served in Kenya with people who are not American, right? Where is our citizenship? I say, hey, we're all brothers and sisters. We are all citizens of heaven, right? And if you're citizens of heaven, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are we not in heaven? We are strangers here in a strange land. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of Christ. We take the message of reconciliation and we say, hey, God loves you. God God, he hates the sin that you've committed. He hates that you are separated from him. He wants a relationship with you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Right? And that is our message. That is the message of reconciliation. Be reconciled with Christ. And it says here in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, now, because we are fellow workers, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I heard you, at the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is not something that is that we're pushing off until tomorrow. This is not something that's past. Right? This is something that is now, today. Today, now is the time. Today is the day. This may be a shock to you, but today is the first day of what? The rest of your life, isn't it? Even if you've done terrible things in the past, even if you've done great things in the past, it doesn't really matter. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day where you can step outside the door and say, I am an ambassador of Christ. I am a minister of reconciliation, and I need to share the gospel with my neighbor. Because you have an opportunity that I don't have. I have an opportunity that you don't have. Isn't that right? Your church is sending me as an incarnational ministry into Kenya so I can share the love of Christ with people in Kenya. You, on the other hand, where are you? You're in, I like to go around and look at different neighborhoods in America. And on the as you go into the neighborhood, it says, no soliciting. Right? If I were to go and knock on doors and say, hey, do you know Christ? Can I share the gospel with you? And they'd say, no. You can't be here, right? We're going to call the police. We don't want you here. But you are their neighbor, aren't you? You can, as a neighbor, you can say, hey, neighbor, can I invite you to supper? Can I give you some biscuits, or I don't know what you do here. Can I give you something? Right? You can be Christ to them. Right? That you can be involved in incarnational ministry with them. Right? You appear at their door and you bring Christ to them. This is something that even in your workplaces, I think that to get into Pastor Mays' work, you have to have a badge. If I went there and knocked on the door, and would I be let in? No, right? I can't go in. That's his job. That's his job to go there and to be Christ in that job. That's his ministry. That's his other ministry, right? We, as workers, I'm a full-time worker or a minister of Christ Jesus, but I don't feel like that is any different than your full-time job. Of being an ambassador of Christ, of being a minister of reconciliation. So let us go from here and have that new goal, right? What are we going to do when we leave this church today? We're going to be the best ambassador of Christ that we can be, right? That's all I have for you guys. Thank you guys so much. There are Heath bars in the back. I'm going to skip over some slides that I did not go through. And here's the 10:40 window. I'd mentioned this before. This is the majority of non-believers in the world live in this area of the world. So, be in prayer for how we as missionaries, you as a church, can reach out into these countries. You can look this up online, 10:40 window, and you'll be able to see this. In the future, we're planning to go to Ethiopia, which is a part of the 10:40 window. That is, the majority of non-believers live there. And surprisingly, or non-surprisingly, many of people from the 10:40 window have jobs here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Even here, you'll see people from those countries who live and work in places like this. So thank you guys so much. God bless you. I have my sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up for that, for our newsletter. We send those out every once in a while. And we're so happy to be in this ministry with you. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you.